We're all virtually limitless.
This podcast is to provide a space for people to grow,
to rise,
and build.
This is for the people that are ready to step up and make moves,
no matter where they came from.
Welcome to the podcast.
Virtually limitless. This life we live, we get to choose. We can make excuses or make moves.
It's up to you.
Yeah, your network is your network.
So find your tribe or build it.
There's some change about to happen. I can feel it. Oh, this life we were given it. So take advantage, start living
it. I'm on a mission, new beginnings to start living.
Yeah, virtually limitless.
You are tuning in to another episode of.
This is another episode of Virtually Limitless.
Hello and welcome back, you guys. We are live here on the Virtually Limitless podcast. I am your host, Justine Mader, and I am ecstatic to bring not only a friend of mine to the stage, but a true leader. And when I say leader, you guys, I help lead the charge with this incredible human in several different areas of life and business. And one of the greatest places is actually where we met. We are fellow moderators for the Dean Graziosi community. And through the thick and thin, the weary long hours that we've supported giving back, I've gotten to know just the true heart and soul of this individual. She is not only a public speaking expert, but she's a founder and president of Changing View Academy. And she helps entrepreneurs and corporate executives have powerful presentations in their business, you guys. I have seen her flourish in this virtual stage. And I know that she's going to have so many gold gems for you to just like soak up, take, and use in your life and business. So with that being said, Natasha, welcome to the stage. I'm so excited to have you.
Thank you. I'm super, super excited. You know how much I love you. And yes, yeah, we rock when we moderate there and when we are in the virtual world right now that everybody is in. And we know how much it's important to be able to speak well with confidence. And I just love the power that you also speak with always.
Well, thank you so much for that. Always graced by your kindness. But I think the other great thing that I love about you too is that English isn't even your first language. Here you're just like, just totally vibe. And I'm like, but you guys don't know that this is the understory that you guys don't know about the greatness that she has. This isn't even her first language. I would love for you to take us back into this public speaking journey that you have been on for many years to establish not only your excellence, but the expertise. And expertise can only come through experience. Experience takes time, which experience is sometimes painful. And I want them to understand that if they're in the weeds and they're struggling with some of this stuff, especially with the new pivots that are happening, it's totally possible. So I'd love to go back in time with you a little bit.
Yes. And so it starts with my experience when I was 17 years old. I was 17. I was asked to speak in front of all graduates, in front of all the parents and the teachers. And that's when I got on that stage. And of course, I was scared, but I was really excited because it's a great honor. And I was looking into their eyes and sharing my message. And I could see how my words, they influenced them, how their eyes started sparkling. And I could feel it. My goodness, now I'm speaking to them and my words changed something in people's minds, on people's faces. So it's powerful. I could feel the power. And I remember being 17, I knew I would want to keep doing that, to speak. And of course, I didn't start doing it right away. I was a teacher, so I started teaching, but then I got more into presentation skills. And 14 years ago, I started training people in public speaking and in presentation skills. And only in the last couple of years, I actually started doing that more online. I started offering my programs and courses and coaching more online, and even corporate trainings online, which is exciting. Yes. But before, I would be doing that in the office setting. But speaking about the second language, actually, I like to say that it's not even my second language now, it's my first language.
Yes. Woohoo!
I made it my first language. So for anybody who's not an English speaker, like English native speaker, like it's not your first language, or any other language, you don't feel like that's your first, but you really would want to learn. You would want to excel, to master that language. I can tell you a few tips, even before I get into public speaking tips.
Yes, do it.
Language, I made that decision probably about 10 or 7 years ago. That was quite a while ago when I decided I need to make English my first language, because I was born in the Soviet Union. Now I don't like to say Russia. I used to say Russia, but now I was like, no. I was born in Murmansk in the Soviet Union.
Yes. Okay. I like that. Well, we'll roll with that one.
Yes. Because I'm in Ukraine, you guys, and Ukraine is in war with Russia. And that's why we're like, no. I was born in the Soviet Union in Murmansk. It's in the Kola Peninsula. So it's like very close to the North Pole, 70 kilometers from Norway. Like we were very close to Scandinavia. And then when I was 12, I moved to Ukraine. And since then, my parents are Ukrainian. So I'm a Ukrainian in nationality. And when I came and I got into English language. I was learning it since I was 8, and my major was English and German, teaching English and German, my first major, first degree. And so about 10 years ago, I decided, well, I really want to use this language more and start working with international clients. And that's when I focused on this. So this is what happens. As soon as you focus on something, you know, where focus
make that flows, decision
energy flows. Yeah. So you just focus on this one thing, then you can excel in it so much. You really can achieve that goal. And that's what happens. I decided I'm only going to read books in English. I'm only going to watch movies in English and shows. I started listening to podcasts and to audiobooks, everything in English. So that was the decision. And it was like a principle, nothing in Russian, nothing in Ukrainian, unless I go to the movies, because sometimes in the movies, or unless I'm watching it with my brother who doesn't really know English that well.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Like, was that frustrating, like, to work through? Cause like, I think of going to the gym, you have sweat, you have, you know, your moments, right? But like, those are different experiences. Like, you know, first, you know, you're like, oh, I think it's this, and then it totally ends up being something else. Like, what was that experience to go through, just even through that growth spurt?
You mean at first when I just started watching things in English? Yes. I mean, it was hard at first. It's you feel that, oh, I don't understand, especially British, because I worked with American partners and American friends. I have like a family in America, basically.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I do, in Minnesota.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. You say Minnesota about as good as I do. You're the best.
Minnesota.
Yeah.
Some of my friends make fun of me. Like, you say Minnesota like a Minnesotan.
Well, yeah, kind of guilty as charged. But, you know, it's one of those things where, for me, it's just so incredible to see, you know, even in the great communities that we serve, you know, there's a lot of global interaction and diversity. Yeah. You know, there's so many different ways to communicate. And sometimes how we say things is not what people hear. And, you know, so sometimes even just people think of communication as just what we speak. But, you know, even as you're talking to me, guys, as we're listening to this podcast, she's talking and using her hands. She's expressive. She's excited. You can see it in her face, but you can also hear it in the way that her words are coming out. And so it's so incredible to use all of the elements of communication, and someone smarter than me basically broke it down to the 55, 38, and 7% of what is actually anticipated by the viewers based on what is said, what is felt, and what is heard, or how they perceive it, or however that goes. But it's one of those things where each of us have such a different perspective on that. So I would love to know, when you're working with different cultures, how was that in public speaking? Cause like, yeah, you had American partners and yeah, we're pretty chill and pretty cool, but like, not everybody is. Germans are a little bit more strict, and I'm very German. So I'm totally reds in my own people. but it's all in love. Like, how was that journey of discovering how to work with different
cultures?
Yeah, really that diversity. Cultures. Yeah,
absolutely. Because actually the hardest thing was working with Chinese people, because that's a completely different culture.
Wow.
When you're learning the English language, you get to know, you kind of get acquainted with the American culture, with the English British culture.
Yes.
And with, but Asian Chinese is completely different. And my first decision when I just started my business, that was 5 years ago, I decided that I will start an online school to teach English to the Chinese students, and I get investments, and I had my partners. Then I lost all that money for advertising in the first year, because Chinese market is completely different from our, it's a different cyberspace.
Crazy.
And yeah, you know, they don't have Google, they don't use Facebook, they have their own social media. So you don't do the same marketing, the same advertising as here.
I did not know that, but that would explain why there's probably not as many Chinese people on Facebook.
Yes, they don't use Instagram, Facebook, I mean, they have TikTok, that's from China. So yeah,
well, that's, but from there, I suppose, you know.
Yeah. But they have WeChat. So that's a big thing. They have RenRen. So they have like the analogs of what we have. And they created their own. So they have a different cyberspace. That's why when I was trying to penetrate their market, it was as if I was trying to get through the Chinese wall and break through that, which I couldn't.
And well, you have to climb over it then. If you can't break through it, you got to climb over it.
Yes. Well, I did climb the Chinese wall actually twice already. But
oh, gosh, no way. That's so cool.
Yes. Yeah. It was such a cool experience. I was in China twice. So I got to go there and I trained. I switched from teaching English to training people in public speaking, which I had been doing. And I've loved this much more than teaching English.
I love and that you pursued your passion.
Yes,
absolutely.
Absolutely. Like as soon as you know that that's you, that's what you've got to do, then you've got to go after that. And also be ready to pivot. That's okay. When first you started, you had one vision. I had a business plan. I thought I was sure that that's what I would be doing. And
right?
After the
right.
first, yeah. And after the first year, when I see, okay, that doesn't work. I just spent all this money for advertising and I got like 1-2 clients, which is still great. It got me to more of other partnerships in China and I continue working with them. But still, you've got to understand, okay, now is the time to change something. With tears and with sweat, I remember, and with a lot of pain, I remember I understood, okay, enough. Now we are changing. We're changing the direction.
That's so powerful.
Yeah. And going back to your question about culture. So when I came, because we trained Chinese teachers in public speaking, there were hundreds, there were 400, I think, 1 year and then 400 another year. And we were working with them. When you come and you have this plan and you have your training, you think that you will give it in one way. And then you have to be flexible and to adjust. That's why this adaptability and flexibility, this is one of the qualities that we all have to develop. And I am a recovering control freak. I started developing this quality in me several years ago when I heard from Tony Robbins. This is one of the emotions and qualities that each leader and successful person needs to develop. So flexibility, when you see those people, throw away everything that you thought would before, even when you read about this culture, just throw it away.
Yeah.
Look into their eyes and just use empathy and try to read their emotions, because people are wonderful. They are amazing. And each person in any culture,
yes,
is an incredible personality. And it's beautiful to get to know. Just look into the eyes of that person. Look into their face and try to understand, what do they really need and how can I help them at that moment? And that is the easiest thing with culture. And then ask questions. Just be ready to say, this is new for me. Could you please help me? Could you teach me something about your culture? So how can I make it work for you? I have my information. And then so work with them and be flexible to change. I had to change my plans. I had to change my program and my curriculum so that it would fit them, because they have different traditions. They have different, like, I never knew. Did you know that? In Chinese schools, kids take naps in the middle of the day. They all just put their head on the table like this and they sleep. So they have 1 hour and a half of a break in the middle of the day.
Wow.
And they put their head down and they take a nap, almost all of them. And these teachers did the same. And we didn't know that. And it's just like,
there was some nuts, but man, I gotta sign me up for some of those. Jeepers creepers, you guys. That's crazy. And I think, but the biggest thing that I'm hearing through what you're saying is that, you know, regardless of how great we are as a teacher, how incredible our program, course, you name it is, right? We could have all the things, but if we actually don't know what tools it is that our people need, we're actually not serving people. And if we're not serving, then what are we doing? And so I love that that's the number one driving force in how you propelled your business forward, how you pivoted from one area to the next, because it was driven by what gifts you had, what tools and experiences you had. And it was driven to be like, how can this be of service to these other people? And even though they're in a different country, they have different culture, they're just as human as you and I. And I was having a conversation with someone else. America is very divided right now between black and white. I'm just so over it. I'm like, your heart beats the same as mine and you bleed red last I checked. I don't care what color you are, red, blue, pink, mm-hmm. or purple. And so it's one of those things where talking with other people like that have had either that culture or stigma, kind of disownership where it's like, you don't count, you don't matter. Like, mm-hmm. I love that when we get out of our ego to be like, oh, I'm going to go help them. No, it's they're going to help me serve them. Because when you open yourself up to mm-hmm. ask as a leader and be like, hey, what would actually benefit you guys right now? Mm-hmm. You know, what are the actual pain points that you have? Is it understanding conversation with Americans or English, or is it actually listening to like a documentary, which is not a conversation? That's very much a delivering of a speech, you know, mm-hmm. like where the disconnects, because the, you know, American English is so messed up. But it's amazing as a native speaker because I understand it, but I can't imagine trying to learn it from the outside world. So I love how that leadership perspective of not only driven through empathy, like you said, but really driven to be like, how can you tell me, mm-hmm. how can we open that bridge so that I know what it is that you need me to bring over, so it can actually be of yeah. service, be of support for everything that you need. I think that's absolutely huge, Natasha.
Yeah. It's, we have to feel it. We have to ask. And sometimes people won't even know what to answer. That's why yes. I said empathy. Like, we have to be able to read people. And as leaders, as anybody who is bringing something into the world, any teacher or trainer or coach or creator or author or entrepreneur, anybody, when we bring something into the world, we want to know what people need. And of course, we need to listen. So we can ask them, and sometimes they won't really answer what they really like. They might not know. That's why yes. they would not really say exactly what, but we have to listen to their answer and listen, read between the lines. So mm-hmm. we really have to try to feel what they're saying, because there were so many right now. I can just see those faces and those people. There was this one guy who was quiet the whole time. He would not participate. He would be even negative. And it takes experience, of course, and it takes a lot of empathy, and it takes emotional intelligence to know how to engage that person.
Yes.
Not to push hard, but at the same mm-hmm. time, not to ignore him. And to right. at the end, this guy was speaking in front of the whole group. And you should have seen, this is also super cool, because he was, you know, teachers. So there were mainly ladies, and there were like 2-3 guys. So he was just in the minority. And all women, they were trying to, they wanted him to speak. Yeah. And he was just like, blah, blah, blah. At the end, he was speaking. They were all applauding. They were ready.
Wow.
That was such a victory. But you've got to be careful, develop emotional intelligence, like I said again, and empathy, and listen very carefully, and look into people's eyes. Look, their faces will tell you a lot. As a public yes. speaker, when you are sharing something, always try to read the audience and try to understand what they really need at this moment, and how you could adjust your speech or training or message or whatever you are giving to them according to their needs.
Absolutely. Well, it's so funny that you say, look at their faces. And I told you this in a one-off conversation, but I actually had one of Tony's coaches in my clubhouse room. Mm-hmm. And this was something that we were talking about. Stephen was saying that the virtual world has almost changed the trajectory of that looking into your face moment, because now all of us are like, you and me, we're connecting from across the globe, right? You know, I can see your face really clear. If I was trying to look and talk to you from an audience, I don't know that I would be able to see you as clearly as I do. I wouldn't be able to look at you and feel like I'm actually speaking to everyone that's in the room. And so, you know, we helped with World Summit, we helped with the last challenge, like there were thousands and thousands of people that you could see face to face. Tony and Dean and the other speakers could see face to face. Like, that connection mm-hmm. was even stronger. So yes, we weren't able to be in the physically same space and energy and time as each other, but we were able to have something almost stronger where mm-hmm. it was a moment that you could be like, hey, yeah, Natasha, I'm looking at you. Mm-hmm. I see you, and you're dancing, or you're putting up your energy, or you're crying, and I feel your emotion right now. Like, holy smokes, you guys. And that stuff mm-hmm. that you can't necessarily hear, it has to be felt. It's what's not being said. And mm-hmm. so I think, you know, people are going so, so fast, Natasha. How would you help someone, especially in the speaking world, slow the heck down and listen? You know, go through a Q&A or whatever the heck it is, but like, how would you encourage someone to create that buffer and margin in their conversation so they actually can develop these skills? Because I don't think that there's enough people with them. We talk about them, but how many of us are actually implementing? I would love to hear some strategic ideas that way.
Mm-hmm. You mean how to use pauses strategically, right? And how to use silence. This is powerful because a lot of people are afraid of pauses.
I know. It's uncomfortable.
Awkward, right? Sometimes we hear this pregnant pause and people think that it's a little awkward. It's like, oh, maybe we should. Pauses are powerful. And maybe you've heard people use different filler words, and we call them sometimes crutch words at Toastmasters. It's you know, but when and so when it's just once or twice, this could be okay. But if it's in every sentence, and usually why do people do that? Because they need to think, and they use this so that they don't pause, so that they don't have any silence in their
Buy me some time, y'all.
Yes. And that's why we need to be comfortable with silence. And this is mindset work. So if you guys have a problem with silence, then practice. Practice meditation. Practice just sitting and being in silence. Practice this with some of your friends, with some everyday conversations, not when you are giving a message, you're giving a speech or presentation, but when you're talking to your friends, talk to them and then practice these little tricks of making a pause. Be silent.
Flex like that muscle ahead of time. Flex yes. that muscle ahead of time,
yeah,
y'all.
Yeah. Because then you will experience this. Okay, what does it feel? It's awkward for me. You can even tell your friend ahead of time. You can say, hey, you know what? Sure. I'm going to be doing this. So just play with me, okay? Just let me, because I need to feel what it's like. That's why, just let me practice this. So that your friend doesn't look at you like, so?
Are you okay?
Are you okay? Yeah.
Earth to Natasha.
Practice and see how long is okay for you, how long is too long, and how long is good, because you will be able to feel it. Pauses are super powerful because they attract attention. I tend to speak fast, just like you.
You're just full of energy. You're just, you guys, you and other friends of ours, yeah, you know, you guys put me to shame. I thought I had energy, but no, keep going.
Well, Russell Brunson, I mean, his speed is.
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, so we are like that. I also speak really fast, but now I learned to embrace pauses. And as, of course, as a public speaking expert, I understand the power of pauses and I know when to use them. That's why when I get really emotional and excited and passionate, then I just let myself go and I speak. And I think it's okay. When we speak fast, I mean, that's just who we are. That's my personality. I'm not going to slow down. I am going
to- Yeah, are you seeing Russell slow down for anybody? No, I don't think so.
He just speaks. And that's why I'm going, I allow myself to be me. But I also know the strategy and I also understand the power of a pause and the power of silence. And you're going to use that when you want to attract people's attention, because there's always contrast. There has to be contrast in our speech and in our message, contrast in delivery and contrast in content also. So when you want people to pay attention, that's when you will slow down, you will pause, you will lean in to the screen or stage, and that's when people will start to listen. They will put down their phones and like, hey, something is different right now.
Yes, every time.
Yeah, because that's vocal variety and you need vocal variety. And even though I am fast, I will speak fast. I'll get really excited and enthusiastic. But then when I want to get to the culmination, to the climax, main point of my speech, and I will slow down and I could even whisper and just really want people to listen to that. That's why pauses will help you calm down if you're nervous. They will help you not use crutch words or filler words, these sounds that could be disgusting. Pauses can help you attract people's attention to your speech. Pauses can help you also gather your thoughts if you really need to remember what's next.
Yes, absolutely. Been there.
So just use them, use it and not imagine, but pretend that this was strategic. Let's say you forgot what
walk
to say
the walk,
next.
Talk the talk. Just make it look like you did it on purpose.
Yes.
Oh, man, have you lived my life, or did you know I did that already? Jeepers creepers, guys. She's like, I don't know. She's bringing out all sorts of confessions at this time. I don't know.
Seriously? So you did it. Did you do it recently or?
I did actually. So I was on for a summit, and for me, it was one of those moments where I was really excited about the topic. But I was almost so excited. I like rushed through the first 2 points and I got to the third point. And I was like, I was so excited for the third point. What the heck was the third point? And so I was like, okay. You know, and so I kind of like rallied up to the point where I was like, all right, so those were the first 2 points, you guys. Do you even need a third point? And then I kind of like, I need a third point. Where's my third point? And I was like, whether you need it or not, I've got a third point for you. And then
you remembered
it. And
then
we went right back into it. And I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. But like, I totally had that moment. And I was like, it was the best part of the speech. But I was just like, I was waiting all speech for this. Like, what? No, yes. I totally had that. That was like 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
And
no,
that's
that was
powerful.
So
and it's powerful.
I don't know. It was a little messy, but it was uncomfortable. No.
I think it's great. And I think, and see, because I always say it's a conversation. Every speech is a conversation, and you've got to be you. You've got to be authentic. And even when you forgot, I just love those moments. And I do that. I make mistakes. Actually, I learned this from my childhood, to embrace my mistakes and my failures and always like love them even. And when I make any kind of mistake during a speech or a training, I could like laugh at myself and it's like, oh, just a second, you guys. It got out of my brain. Absolutely. What was I going to say at this moment? So like, I could say it. Seriously. I could say that way. And people start laughing and then they relax and that builds connection with them. And
I
then I will
that,
remember.
Yes.
And then I usually remember and then I go on. And it's, I think that that's powerful. Whenever I see it in other people, I love that too. And I've been doing it not like strategically. I mean, I don't plan that. But whenever that happens, for me, it's a moment to just be me and be okay with failing.
Well, and I think you brought up a really great point. You know, communication is only effective if it's relatable. And, you know, so many times in this speakers and entrepreneur world, everyone seems so untouchable, you know, so Instagram perfect, so brittle almost. And so to, you know, show the raw side of that without breaking, you know, if you're brittle, you're going to break if you show the real deal. No, it's like, no, this is real life. Or like, I can't tell you how many times all of a sudden I've had Griffin run in or Elliot's all of a sudden, like all of a sudden he was sleeping. Then all of a sudden it's like mad awake. And then I'm like, oh, sorry guys. Like hang tight. We got this. It just is, but it just humanizes us in the business. Like there's really humans behind this. And I just hope that, you know, Natasha is a living, you know, beating example of what it's like to just embrace yourself on the stage, in the workplace, in your life, and bring all of you to the table, right? Don't leave anything behind. Don't leave any of your fun humor. Don't leave any of your great laughs. Don't leave that at the door. Bring that in. That's what's going to make you stand out in this incredible industry. And that's what's going to leave people asking for more of what it is that you have. Mm-hmm. And so especially when it comes to speaking well, speaking strong and speaking confidently, I think these are a couple of the greatest lessons that she shared with us so far today. I would love to know, Natasha, as we're kind of getting towards the end of our conversation, what would be one word of either inspiration or tangible action that you would encourage our listeners to do? Most of them are business owners. Most of them are trying to figure out this online thing. Like, what would you leave them? If there was just one thing you could tell them today, what is it that you'd share?
Really depends on where people are. But if you're telling me they're business owners and they're entrepreneurs, and I know a lot of those people, because also those are people that I work with.
Your people are my people.
Yeah, your people are my people. And I love those people because that's who I am. You know how a lot of times we serve those people who the same people that we are also. I love entrepreneurs because I know I've gone through this journey and I understand all the pain and the hardships. And I know that a lot of entrepreneurs, business owners have enough confidence to start their business, to bring their product into the world. But then when it comes to speaking, then they don't find enough confidence and they have the fear of public speaking. Even when they present on the boards of directors and CEOs.
Yeah, exactly.
And then all they want to speak online and talk about their product or their service, give their message. So for me, this is my pain. This is my in my heart so much that people are afraid of doing that. And so they keep this message inside and the world doesn't hear. They have their product, they might have their service, and they don't talk about it enough. They could have the message that is super, super important, and they don't speak with that confidence, because you and I, we can see it in Dean's groups, in so many other people. We can see how people go live and they're like trembling, like, this is my first live. Oh, I don't know. How do I? And people are afraid of something. Of course, there are reasons. There is a fear of failure, fear of judgment, fear of rejection, and we can dig deeper where those are coming from. But this fear of public speaking is so real, and I can see it in strong and confident leaders.
Yes.
That's why my main invitation for you and the main message for you is, please speak and bring your message and do it online, because right now you have the opportunity to do it easily just by going on your favorite social media, taking your phone, tapping on the button that says live, and speak to your people. Just speak. Yeah, I'm holding my hand. Speak to your people and share your message. And at first it's scary, but you will start getting used to it. Do it consistently. And if you're a new entrepreneur, and maybe people don't know you yet that much, so you start doing it consistently and increase visibility, and people will see you, they will know who you are, they will know what service you're offering, they will remember your message. Be consistent with your message, be consistent with your actions also. That's super important, so that people know that you are the person that speaks always about health and wellness. Oh, really cool. Where's that Alex who always spoke about wellness and health? I want to listen to that. So you need to be known for a certain thing. Go out there and speak. Don't hold back, because there's so much that people need to hear. And when people hold back their messages and their words and their presentations, then we don't get to hear your voice. We don't get to know what you're offering. So yes. Speak and don't hold back.
Speak with power. She brings the power, you guys, man. So like, you have no excuses. You have no excuses. She laid it all out there. She gave you like a 1, 2, 3 to get it done, get it started today, show up powerfully and do it consistently so that you can grow, so that people can grow with you, and you can bring impact and love to the life of other people through whatever it is that you do or provide. So I absolutely love that, Natasha. And thank you from my heart for bringing just that soul side of business to the table. Leading with empathy, that's the number one way that we're actually going to change lives, right? We want to change the person for better. We want to be that solution to the problem that they're experiencing, whether that's in their life or in their business. And that's what this movement is all about. That's what Virtually Limitless is all about. So that's exactly why we have you here on the show. But I know that people are going to need more of you in their life and business. Where would you want them to find them? Where would you want them to find you? Man, guys, I gotta see, what do you mean?
Well, you know, it's a very important that was super important, because where do they want to find them? Because they need to find, you guys need to find yourself. Have you found yourself already or not?
Okay, maybe that was unintentional, but that's a really
good
point.
That was the message. That was the your message for your audience. They need to find themselves. But if you guys want to find me, then you can find me on natashabazilevich.com. And I understand that that is hard. Natasha is easy, but Bazilevich is like Basil, but with a Z and then E-V-Y-C-H. You can find
me sure
on
it's
Facebook.
All linked in the notes. Yes. Today. No excuse, but yes, no excuse. You roll it off find so me. Elegantly.
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook and or on my website, and in both of those places, my digital home, you can join my Facebook group, which is called Powerful Speakers, and you will get a welcoming gift, a free video course. You can also sign up for a free video course on my website. So there's a free public speaking video course. And as a member of my Powerful Speakers group, we have an incredible community, just awesome, awesome people. You can, when you join the group, it's free. We also have Zoom calls every month, monthly, when I train people. They practice their impromptu speeches. They give their introductions. They meet other entrepreneurs or speakers. And it's always fun. We play games. For me, fun is super important. That's why I always bring it to the table. And we always have it practical and fun.
Oh my gosh, that's so awesome. Well, you know, it's one of those things that sometimes life is so, so practical. We leave the fun on the outside. We leave that outside. Yeah, no, we can't have that. So you need more of Natasha. You'll have links in the notes, you guys. Absolutely no excuses. Natasha, thank you. Thank you for being on Virtually Limitless with me. This was incredible.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much, guys.
I can't wait to continue to bring more incredible guests just like Natasha. Be sure to tune in soon. We will see you next time, okay?
If you learned anything from this show, make sure you leave a review and check out the description to join our community and grab some free resources. And make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Virtually Limitless.